strong toxic brother looking at the stuff from yesterday. All the drama, all the strategy and silliness from CO to HOH. Every single season, you know he is the reason. You know what's happening. Rob said that he could do it. Tomorrow he will do it again.
Hello, everyone, and good morning. Welcome to our live feed update for August 16th. I'm your host, Aaron Armstrong, and with me today, it's Kirsten. How are you doing, Kirsten?
Okay, here's the thing. I'm very tired because I thought, oh, I live in Big Brother time. This is going to be a breeze. This is going to be the best thing ever. It turns out, not the best thing ever. I am constantly sleepy, but you know what? I'm going to get through it. And I'm here prepared for, I think it was the girl trivia and the boy trivia. So I hope you have sports questions ready for me.
Yes. The house guests have been struggling because they're not allowed to take naps. I am luckily allowed to take naps, but they are, you know, really like they're being forced to stay up very late. They're waking up decently early as well. And it's definitely been a hard season to cover so far.
Because I feel like for you being a updater and you have to see everything. So I feel like you're like a new parent and it's like, well, you can sleep when they sleep. They're not sleeping.
Yeah.
Not good.
Well, we are here to update you on everything that happened yesterday on the Big Brother 22 live feeds. It was day 11 in the house and paranoia runs rampant as Memphis is not a steady presence on the wheel and everybody is worried. And that is forcing some errors into the game that is causing a lot of the power structure to start to question things. So let's get into it. Let's talk about it.
Yeah, let's do it. Where do you want to start?
We started the day yesterday with Danny in Memphis. Danny went to Memphis in the morning and was trying to talk to him about like, look, this is not working. We need to work on our communication in this relationship.
Yeah.
Because I'm feeling very unappreciated, very unloved. An alliance needs to talk. We need to like discuss what the best options are for the group. And I just feel like if we do that, then we can work this out. And Memphis is like, no, you don't understand. You're the one doing it wrong. We shouldn't have to talk. You guys just need to like chill. Just be okay. Like,
just chill.
Why are you being so weird about this?
It's like, I feel like we have to talk about this every single season where obviously the ideal is to have an alliance that no one knows about, that you don't need to check in with each other constantly because you kind of know you're on the same page. But those type of alliances require check-ins when other people don't know about them. So I don't know. Memphis just wants the not talking part and none of the reassurance. It's like a very toxic relationship energy of like, I don't even know. I can't even come up with a good analogy right now because it's I get so mad every time I think about it.
Yes. So then she go, okay, fine. We won't be talking. Fine.
Okay, cool. Yeah, we won't talk at all. It's fine. Cool. Yeah, this is great. Good talk.
Okay, let's move on to my next topic of conversation then. What about a backdoor plan? Kacer and Janelle, they're coming for us. One of them needs to go. We need to make something like this happen. And Memphis says, no, look, the thing that you don't understand is that they're just running around. They're harmless. You don't need to worry about them. We don't need to do anything about that. We just need to chill. I just need to stop worrying and love the Kacer and Janelle. That's what we need to do.
And And Danny's like, well, you know, they've specifically named four people in our alliance as people that they're going after. I think we should be worried about this. You know, if there's two of them, that's a better chance that they'll get power, that kind of thing. Memphis is like, they don't know the other two people in the alliance. Like, they don't even know the other two. They only know 2/3 of the alliance. It's fine. Like, we don't have to worry about that.
Yeah. It's not like they have all six of us.
Hey, two of us will be fine. So it's cool.
Oh, am I one of the people that they don't know about and they're safe? That's funny. Coincidence. So she's like, okay. She's very visibly frustrated at this point.
Yeah, and like, this is incredible. This is the Danny energy that we need for her to flip and work with the people we like. So
she's like, okay, well, but at least like, can we at least like talk about like, you know, at least Kacer is less dangerous than Janelle. Like, Janelle is the person that we would backdoor. If we did backdoor, we need to be worried about Janelle, right? It's like, now the thing you don't understand about Janelle is that Kacer's actually way smarter. Kacer's the one coming up with these ideas. He's the one that we need to look out for. And she's like, what are you talking about? Kacer sucks at this game. He's been out pre-jury twice. Janelle made it to the final three. This is what always happens. People look at Kacer first and they ignore Janelle, and then she makes it far. Janelle's the more dangerous one. He's like, no, you don't understand the reality of the situation.
And she's like, Janelle is literally the queen of Big Brother.
Yeah.
We should be taking her out first. And like, literally, I don't know if I've ever seen anybody mansplain the way that Memphis mansplains. And it's all the more annoying because he's just completely wrong. Like, it's like, yeah, we don't have to talk. I'm not going to listen to what you have to say. I'm not even going to pretend to consider your thoughts and ideas. And yeah, you're wrong about everything. So that, like, that's that. What?
Yeah. It's Danny is after this conversation just done with
them. She's fuming.
Like, she's like, there's like, oh, I can't work with this guy. He doesn't listen to a word I say.
Well, like, and you just can't, like, an alliance that's built on just like the necessity of being together rather than having anything in common, any sort of, you know, strategic conversations, any sort of bond. Like, that's just not something that can last. You, like, you're not going to be able to work for 99 days with someone who doesn't listen to you or value your input or anything like that. Like, it's just not something that can work. Like, the most successful alliances come from people who have, you know, good strategic discourse and actually get along.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And, you know, throughout the day, there's going to be a lot of complaining about Memphis the other five people in his alliance. And they talk a lot about like Dan, like, oh, like, no wonder Dan wanted to work with this guy. This sucks. I would never win a jury vote. But then also like, but how? Like, Nicole Franzel was like, how did Dan work with him? This is impossible. And I tweeted this out that like the thing about Memphis that Dan understood and what he talked about in the jury questioning is that he knows that Memphis is an intensely self-interested player. And if you understand that, then you know why Memphis would never in a million years backdoor Janelle or Kacer. Because it's not good for him personally, and he's not seeing the damage that it's doing to his personal game by ignoring you. He's only looking at it from the like non-emotional chessboard way of looking at the game. Like, no, it doesn't make any sense for me to take out my own pieces here. So I'm not going to do it. And they keep trying to like propose this idea to him, like, you need to do it for the group. You need to consider our feelings. You need to like help protect us. And that's just never going to work with Memphis.
Well, and what he's not seeing on his little chessboard is that, okay, well, he's going to not worry about these two pieces here, and it's just going to cause these other five pieces to come for him. So it's not even a good self-interested move. He just can't see the whole board.
Exactly. That's like, exactly. He ignores the feelings side of it.
He cannot see the forest for the trees.
I talked about this last night on the roundtable, but it's like, it really feels like the the mist that Dan used on Memphis to get him to suck at jury management so much at the end of Big Brother 10 still hasn't worn off.
I think sometimes that on certain types of people, a good mist could be lifelong. He just,
like Cody's cologne.
Yes, exactly like Cody's cologne. Oh God.
Yeah.
What All a right. mess.
So,
oh no.
Bailey is going to have a conversation with Janelle in the love room, the showmance room, and they do their workouts a lot together. Like that's their sort of like hangout time, which like I don't know if they think it's slick, but
they it's probably do. They probably not. Think it's really slick. Hey, it's, you know what? This is, you know what? It's going to work really well. We'll just work out together. That is an hour a day that we can spend just alone, just hanging out. And we just tell people we're working out. It's fine. No one will see a thing.
Yeah, it's like the most obvious. Everybody knows how close Bailey and Janelle are because they spend, like, they're like, you spend hours in that room with her every day.
We're just working out,
we're
okay?
Just working out. We're working out.
Who is that an impression of?
That's just a generic impression of somebody who is very badly defending themselves.
We're just working out.
Who's working out? I don't know. So,
what does that remind me of? Oh, I can't remember. Oh, it's reminding me of something very specific that I cannot place right now.
Maybe somebody will know and they'll let you know. So Janelle is talking to Bailey and Bailey gives Janelle the heads up that, like, watch out. There's a person going around saying some things about you and Kacer in Memphis, saying that you should be targeted. You should be broken up. And that person is Kevin. Kevin, can't believe he's doing that.
That Kevin, yeah. Janelle hates Kevin so much. Like the way that she talks about him,
she was like, "Of course, of course, I knew he was a snake."
Like she literally at one point said that effing Kevin, and I was like, "What year is this? What am I watching?"
That Kevin Campbell.
Yeah. What's his middle name? Do we know?
Yeah.
I wish it was Robert.
I'm not sure. They are saying that perhaps what I was reminding you of was Matt Klein's. What are you going to do?
Yes. Thank you. That was going to bother me all day. I forgot. I do think that's my favorite of all of your impressions.
Yeah, I enjoyed it as well.
What are you going to do?
So now she knows Kevin bad, definitely. And Janelle lets Bailey know that last night she was approached by someone in that group that they have been talking about. Cody, Danny, Tyler, Franzel, and basically they made an offer to include Janelle in that group. Now, this is a conversation that happened last night between Danny and Janelle. It was a very similar, like it was, you know, they were talking about working together and talking about who they're cool with. Like it was a very typical conversation. But Janelle kind of like caught on to who Danny was talking about. She said, well, I'm cool with Tyler. What if we brought in Cody? What if we worked with Franzel? And that lit the light bulb in Janelle's head. And so now the following day, the day we're talking about, she's telling Bailey, they basically just confirmed their alliance and they're trying to cover themselves because they know I'm like on to them and they're trying to bring me in to their thing and I'm not falling for it. She's also going to let Kacer know.
Yeah. You have to be like a little bit more slick than that. Like, you can't just list, you know, 4 to 5 people and be like, yeah, I feel great about these 5 people. You know, they're to the house, feel great about them. It's awesome. And it's like that's going to send light bulbs for anybody. It's just, you can't be like, oh, yeah, I love these 5 people.
And this is really going to be a problem. This is because I've been talking about all season long, like the difference between, you know, playing hard and playing messy. And it's, I don't think you play too hard. I think you play too messy. And yeah, this is where Danny has gotten messy.
So I think, okay, I think that there's like a third step. I think there's like not playing enough. There is playing too hard, but I feel like that's just not what's happening in this season. Like, I do think that still exists. Well, I just think that it's very dependent on the house dynamics.
I think that, like, the reason I, like, I think that once you go to a certain point, now you're just being messy, because playing hard includes, like, I feel like playing very hard includes the idea of, well, I shouldn't talk to this person because I know game wise that it won't work for me. So I'm playing the game hard instead of just kind of letting myself go like, oh, I'd naturally want to talk to this person and tell them things. But no, I need to game and not do that. So gaming hard is like always making the right choice. Gaming messy is now going crazy with too many things and not reserving where you should be reserving and stuff like that.
Okay, I just feel like there's another layer that needs to be added to really get all of the nuance. I don't like disagree. I just think there's one more step that we need to add in. I think that would be a really good off-season podcast.
All right. Stay tuned. So Janelle talks about that with Bailey and Kacer. Danny is going to talk to Nicole Anthony, and she's going to ask Nicole Anthony about, you know, Janelle. You know, Nicole is now on this kick of, Janelle set me up. Janelle's after me.
I love so much how Danny just goes to Nicole Anthony and is like, has Janelle talked crap about me to you? Nicole's like, I don't want to get myself in a pickle. It's just so precious.
So Nicole has been, you know, telling Kevin like, oh yeah, Janelle came up to me yesterday, or earlier, and was like, hey, how do you feel about Kevin? Because after Janelle found out about Kevin, she went to Nicole and she was asking her about Kevin. And she was like, I mean, I don't know, we're close. And like, how close are you? Does he say anything about me? And Nicole is like, no, never. I've never heard him say anything about you. Definitely not for hours yesterday. Like, not at all.
I feel like it's such a recurring thing for people to be like, okay, but what about Kevin? We need to talk about Kevin, like, right now. And it's like, Is that really what you need to talk about right now? Because I don't think that's what you need to talk about right now. Well, so I think bigger problems.
Nicole ends up telling Kevin, she tells it like this. She goes, Janelle came up to me and she was like, how do you feel about Kevin? Oh, has Kevin said anything bad about me? And I was like, oh, no, I haven't said it. I don't think Kevin has said anything about you at all. And then she was like, are you sure? And I was like, yeah, totally sure. Like, do you think you have him? I mean, I hope so. I mean, I would hope that he votes for me.
What is this old lady impression?
That's Nicole's impression of Janelle. Sure?
Yeah, I know. It's just, it's so funny. Like, I every time you see her being like, and then Janelle said, do you have him? Are you sure? And it's like,
I think we're really getting into parody form at that point.
Now we're in parody. We weren't in parody before.
I was very realistic.
Yeah, Karen is a very serious you have method gone into actor. Impressionism. And I took it too far. Yeah, okay, yeah,
look, I am like, I take a lot of painstaking efforts to. to be very true to life, and I feel like you're taking a lot of liberties here.
I literally feel like you're gaslighting me right now.
I mean,
whatever. It's 8:30 in the morning. Yeah. I don't even know what's happening.
So So Nicole is talking to Danny, and Danny is essentially like, man, can you believe that, Janelle? Like, what do you think she's doing next to you, to your, you poor thing? And Nicole's like, I don't know. Like, I don't even, if I think about it, I really don't even understand, like, why she's doing any of this, or wait, what is she doing to me again? And she's like, well, if you think about it, you know, either she knew about it ahead of time or she didn't know about it ahead of time. And she's, but either way, she's lying to you. Like, I, no matter what, she lied to you. If you think about it.
And yeah, Nicole's like, there's no other way to think about
either
it.
Either way of which? No. Yeah, you're right. I mean, definitely some, she definitely lied to me at some point. So you're totally right. Screwed
it's
enough.
Like in that situation, what is she even supposed to say? Like, you can't even really ask for follow up questions or anything like that, because it's like, what information are you gonna get?
No.
What are you gonna get from that?
So and like, Danny is really like, she's also like, she's taller than Nicole. They're like sitting, but like she's you know, she's higher up, and like she's looking down at Nicole, and she's, it's like a vulture like approaching her prey.
Oh my god.
She's just like, so now that we're definitely soul, like, we both agree that Janelle is terrible, she said anything about me? Nicole's like, well, I mean, she said something, but I mean, like, she, what she says is that she really likes you, but it's really Caser tells her that, like, oh no, you can't, we can't trust Danny. Like, you don't trust her so much. And Janelle's like, oh, golly gee. Like, oh man, that sucks. I wish I could trust Danny, but I guess we can't, Caser.
Like, as if anybody would believe that that is how Janelle is, like how she operates in the world. We know who Janelle is, and that is not how Janelle operates. just, like, Nicole just, Anthony's like, let me put a unicorn filter on this right now real quick. Let me be like, and Janelle is just so, she actually really likes you and she wants to work with you, but that Caser gets in her head and she's like, I wish I could work with Danny. Like, what?
Yeah. Danny also is going to then talk to Franzel and tell Franzel about her idea of pitching an alliance to Janelle, that this, like, she is serious about this. She wants to say to Janelle, let's work with Franzel, let's work with Cody, let's work with Caser, let's make an alliance here, and nobody will suspect it. And Franzel is like, what? That does not sound like a good idea.
Are you serious?
Oh my god.
We want Danny.
That's a terrible idea.
No, you shouldn't do that.
And I have to say, I agree with Franzel on this one. This is a bad idea. But Danny just, she's just,
this
keeps,
is I, what Danny do does. It. Like, this is what Danny does. We all knew this going, like, people were getting so upset. Oh, what is Danny doing? I can't stand her anymore. And I said, I'm still a Danny fan. She just keeps hurting me personally. Okay. And now she's doing exactly what that Danny thing is, where she gets annoyed and she's like, I got to find a different way to do this.
You want
to
know my Danny theory?
I would love to know your Danny theory, please.
Way back when, in season 8,
okay,
Danny and her dad were playing the game. And they, a banner plane flew over their heads and they realized, oh my God, Eric is a rat. Eric is terrible. He's against us. They tried to get him out and they couldn't. And then after they tried to get him out, he came back to them and he worked with them. And it was like, whoa, all you need to do is approach someone with a deal and they just work with you again, even if you tried to get them out. This is amazing. And so for the rest of the game, they're just like, we just succeeded so well because we were able to work with Eric after trying to get him out. We are amazing at this game. But Eric was being controlled by America.
Yeah,
and I
do
feel like they found that out. But I feel like the muscle memory of playing the game still like was ingrained. And so you go to season 13 and she tries to get Rachel out. And she fails. And then she goes to Rachel and she says, hey, Rachel, let's work together. We can make a deal. And then Rachel turns around and she gets her out of the game, because that's what happens when they're not America's player.
Kate, but I feel like it is a very Donato move to just completely selectively forget about the America's player portion of season 8. We've seen it before.
Yes. And so like, because again, like you find out that he was America's player, but like when you're in the game,
they were in the house for like 80 days or whatever.
Exactly.
Being like, yeah, this is how it works. And then it's kind of hard to go back and put that new information over top of every memory and be like, oh, now things are really clicking into place. Like, it's just, again, it's one of those things where it's like they are looking at their chessboard and it is right in front of them. But what they need to do is like zoom way out and see that there's another factor impacting the game.
Mm-hmm. And you know, to hear Dani tell it, that she definitely had Rachel until Rachel went into the diary room, and then, you know, then things got messed up. So it's really, it was, she,
so that was
right
a reverse
strategy.
Eric Stein, actually.
Yeah,
with
exactly.
Rachel. they call a Rachel Riley the reverse Eric Stein.
So she really just feels like this is a winning strategy to just like make a deal with your enemy, essentially, to cover yourself. And so she goes to Janelle and she said, hey, like, let's work together moving forward. Let's agree not to put each other up. We're going to pretend we still don't like each other. And we'll have this kind of like under the radar secret deal that Janelle has already told half the house about.
And it's just something where if they had talked more at the beginning and really reaffirmed with each other, this all could have been avoided.
Yeah, because what this really is that Dani heard her name next to Cody and Franzel for the first time, and she freaked out and she panicked and she ran to Janelle to be like, dude, let's make a deal. And she didn't think it through, and it's not properly set up, and it's, it like, again, like, I, like, this is not properly hard enough gamed. This was a panic, messy, like, ah, like, it wasn't planned enough. And Janelle is going to go to Memphis. She's going to go back to Kaser, like, hey, I've been propositioned. And Bay is going to start spreading this information, and it's going to do a lot of damage to the alliance at large, because Janelle is now confirming that these people are working together. And it's going to come back to the alliance, and they're going to find out that Dani is making these sort of under the table deals with Janelle, and it's making them not trust Dani. And it's getting very messy. It was very unnecessary, because Janelle, it was kind of true what Nicole was saying. Janelle didn't want to target Dani of that group. She would have targeted Tyler, Franzel, and Cody all first before she targeted Dani.
Well, and the thing too is, I'm seeing in the chat people saying, you know, I didn't think Dani's game sense was that bad, blah, blah, blah. It's not that her game sense is bad. It's that this is a purely reactionary move, and you need to be more proactive than that.
Mm-hmm. Exactly.
Like, it's not like, oh, Dani's suddenly like just horrible at the game. It's just, this move is not well thought out, and it's a complete reactionary measure.
Yep. So after her conversation with Janelle, she goes and she fills in Franzel about the thing. She tells Janelle, like, oh, she loves you. Franzel loves you. That she's just intimidated. And she's like,
she's definitely just scared of you.
I hope Janelle likes me, but I don't know. She goes back to Franzel. She's like, I put in a good word for you. I made a deal. And Franzel's like, okay, I guess.
Well, I mean, Nicole Franzel has spent so long being like asking other people to help her get in with Janelle. So, I mean, she should be pleased.
Yeah. Cody is going to have a conversation with Enzo, and he is getting worried that people are running around scared. He sees Dani talking to Janelle. He sees Day and Bay talking to Janelle, and nobody's coming back to him. Nobody's coming back to Enzo. They're not debriefing. So what's going on? Like, this is concerning. And Enzo's just like, hey, don't worry about it, man. We gotta just write it out. We'll use them for now. We'll take them out later. Don't worry.
Well, and see, like, for Cody, he's always played with, like, a very strong, like, overbearing presence in the house to kind of help maneuver things the way that they, like, should be going. So he is not used to this level of chaos.
Yeah, and, like, I tweeted this out, too. Like, this is the moment in season 16 when Cody goes to Derek to say, hey, like, I'm putting my feelers out there, and I'm getting a bad sense. And Derek says, okay, this is what we're going to do then. I think that we need to, you need to reach out to this person. I'll go and talk to this person. We'll tell this person this and this person this. And then they'd set the game plan for the day, and then they would orchestrate that plan that day, and it would all work out by the end of the day, and everybody would be happy.
And so Cody goes to Enzo wanting that same energy of, okay, here's the problem. How do we fix it? And Enzo's like, don't worry about it. Like, chill out. It's gonna be fine.
Yeah.
That's not what he wanted. That's not the type of reassurance that he needed. I feel like all of these house guests should be letting each other know what their love languages are so that they can work together more effectively. Like, Memphis, I feel like he likes acts of service for sure. Like, he definitely, he doesn't want quality time for that at all.
No.
You know, he's definitely, you know, acts of service. I feel like Danny
Memphis appreciates
time.
Memphis appreciates not like Memphis. An act of service to Memphis is avoiding him.
Or turning down the air conditioning. That's very important to him. Like, I honestly, like, Memphis is not that old, but, and I've said it many times, he has such grandfather energy that I just can't get over it.
Well, I think part of it too is that he feels like a dad from, like, the 90s.
Yeah, he's from another time.
Yeah.
Like, he's just literally from another time, which is crazy because, again, he's not that old. It's like, I feel like this is like last summer when I was like, oh yeah, Sam has old man strength. And everyone was like, what the hell is old man strength? No. Memphis has grandfather energy.
I mean, you don't see it yet. He does seem to have some strength, though. We'll talk about that later.
He does have old man strength also. I you know what? I'm going to plant my flag on that one.
Now we are going to take a quick break for our sponsors, and we'll be right back. And we're back. So let's get back to the show. All right. So Kacer talks to Janelle, after another failed attempt at getting Memphis on board with them, Kacer is just going to be like, look, we just have to work around him. Like we just need to ignore the Memphis side of things for now. Try to build up our group and then, ask for forgiveness after and tell him we've got a group now. You got to join us, like get pulled in by us because we've got these people. And so they're going to start to work on trying to build their forces. They want Bay and Day to join them, and they want Nicole as well. Now, they don't have any of those people right now.
No, it's like I feel like they. Janelle and Kacer talking game is kind of like when you're like sitting with a friend and you're like, okay, but like, what if we won the lottery and what would we do with $100 million?
But you know? I think it's more like this is the winning lottery ticket. We have it for sure. We haven't checked it yet, but we definitely have got it. Now what?
Okay. Yeah. And they're like, okay, so what are we going to do with this $100 million? Yeah. Okay. Yeah. I'm okay with this adjustment. Yeah, that's it. Like, it's just, okay, but like, they're like, we have the winning lottery ticket. We actually haven't purchased a ticket.
Yeah. Yeah. Like,
we can't win, but we have one already.
So, and man, it is frustrating because like, if they could just like, cause I know everyone's mad at Kevin because Kevin is mad at Janelle and Kacer. But like Janelle and Kacer,
they were targeting him.
Started it. They started it.
Yeah.
And Janelle, today, the day we're talking about, still talking about Keisha. Still, like, I know this is probably getting annoying, but it would be so much easier if Keisha was here, Nicole.
And it's like, I don't understand what people want. Like, if someone takes a dog You don't want the dog to go back to them. Like, let Kevin live his life. They started it. They kicked him. He should be allowed to bite them.
Kirsten, advocate of two eyes for one eye.
I don't even know. I'm sorry. My coffee is not kicked in yet. This is just unfiltered morning, Kirsten.
This is don't kick me or I'll bite you, Kirsten.
Don't kick me because I will bite you, okay? Oh no.
So but the like, they should be working with Kevin. There's no reason they shouldn't be. He has nobody else. And they should,
I feel like it wouldn't take that much work to like reassure Kevin, be like, you know what, Kevin, we did really, you know, want Keisha. We know Keisha better. We felt like she like fit into our plans. But you know what? That's over. Keisha is gone. We need to forget about it. I think if you look at the house, look at this alliance, look at this group, look at this, I think our only chance as a group is to come together. And I think we just have to do it.
And
I feel like he could be reasoned with. He could be brought in. It's not an impossible task.
And for sure, if they had Kevin and Nicole on board, Bay and Day, and we'll talk about this later, would be willing to at the very least agree to be on board to play the middle. And if they won an HOH, they would leave all of those people alone and probably go after like Ian and Christmas or something along those lines. And that would be fantastic for Kacer and Janelle. But because they don't have Kevin, they also don't have Nicole. And if they don't have either of those two, Bay and Day are like, well, we're not going to just jump on a pair and sink with their ship.
Yeah, it's like, yeah, let's make a four in this house. That's super effective right now, Link.
Yeah. So the feeds are gonna come down for a bit. They pick the veto player. They already picked the veto players at this point. Ian, Tyler, and Nicole Franzel are gonna be playing. Tyler talks a lot about like whether or not he wants to win. There's more talk about like should Memphis do a backdoor? And word is getting around that Memphis is considering a Nicole Franzel backdoor because that's what Janelle and Kacer are saying. Even though he emphatically told them no, they said that they're trying to work on it and they think they can make some progress. And so it's getting around that, hey, Franzel might get backdoored.
Well, and I feel like this is just such bad news for Nicole Franzel. Like, it doesn't matter that it is completely fabricated because now the idea of a Nicole Franzel backdoor is in the ether. Like, getting her out is now a topic of conversation that everybody has heard about. And I feel like that can only mean bad things for her moving forward.
Mm-hmm. So we get the feeds go down for Ian's punishment. We think it's for the veto competition, but it's not.
It's like, oh, veto, great. This is pretty early. What a day. No.
Eventually we get to the we get to see Ian's punishment, and it's kind of like Haley's Shakespeare.
Yeah, when
punishment.
She had to read Hamlet, except way better in every way, because this is an original like space play. There, you know, sometimes Ian plays all of the parts. Sometimes Ian has, you know, supporting actors with him, such as Dave Vaughn, who does such a good job with it. My personal favorite is when, you know, Ian is playing like the queen and his main character.
My favorite part is when he dresses up like me in the robot costume, and he's like, hey, this is a Terran reference for sure. It's great. It's like the Haley punishment, except he's got costumes and he's got to play different roles, and it's terribly written, like sci-fi romance.
It is so funny. And the best is it'll be like he won't have read ahead, and then it'll be like, oh crap, I now have to take off this vest. He takes it off. He's like really in the scene, and then it's like, Ian, put on your microphone. And he's like, damn it, like it was attached to the vest.
Mm-hmm. And he occasionally gets, you know, other people to help out, and they dress up as like an alien or something. You know, there's one of them that like, I appreciate the enthusiasm, Ian, but he's just screaming like, "My father!" And I'm like, okay.
Okay. I really, if I had had the time this morning, I really wanted to like write out part of the script so that we could, you know, do a live reading on the update. But I just simply didn't have the time. So I'm really sorry, everybody.
Maybe Rob and I can do it tonight on the
incredible
recap.
Yeah, you'll need to.
So that's all going on. Tyler has a conversation with Devon that is, you know, just a little bit more audible than something that's very not audible in the kitchen. So I was going to say a mouse, but like it was, I can hear mice sometimes.
What are you talking about?
It's so hard to hear. Devon in particular, she whispers like this.
I could see you playing Big Brother with Devon, and she's like, and you're like, what? What?
Yes. But they talk at the table, and essentially, like, what's going on? Devon asks him if he's in with Janelle, and he's like, no. She's like, are you sure? He's like, test me. Let's go. I'm not with Janelle at all. She's like, okay, I'm going to tell you some things. And she lists a group of people. She says herself, Bailey, David, Cody, Danny, Franzel. And Enzo, not Franzel. And she's essentially like proposing that that like those people work together. And Tyler's like so in on that. You know, like I that's a good group of people. I think that I'd definitely be down for that.
I'm still can't stop thinking about the mouse thing. I'm sorry. Really,
look, when the season's over and Devon is the winner of All Stars, and we have her on to do a deep dive, I am going to get a clip of a mouse making noise, and then I'm gonna ask her to whisper, and we're gonna do a side by side comparison, and I will be vindicated.
All I'm hearing is Devon, the winner of All Stars, and she was my winner pick. I just love being right. So this is great. This is incredible for me.
Win-win.
It's a win-win. I can't, I have no complaints.
Yeah. Enzo's going to talk with Bailey and Devon. They are worried about Danny. That she's talking to a lot of people. It's coming back to them that Danny's like doing a lot of things. Enzo's worried about her too. And they're talking about this potential Franzel backdoor. And Day asks Enzo, okay, so if Franzel went up on the block, who goes home? Franzel, David, Franzel, Nicole. And Enzo's like, I don't know. Well, what's best for our game? And they're like, well, we want to know your opinion. I don't care.
And so it's like, I've never had to do this before. What are you yeah. doing to me? Like, how dare you?
If you want Franzel to go, she can go. I mean, I don't care. And they're like, okay. And I thought they were like really grilling him and that he failed their test because he was clearly making this up, that like he didn't want to say a name. He just wanted to say what they wanted him to say. But after this conversation, they were like, well, Enzo doesn't care if Franzel goes. So it's like, oh, okay.
Enzo is like more on another planet than Ian is during his punishment. He's just so like, Enzo is just a different breed.
Yeah.
So special.
Tyler's going to talk with Bailey. And they talk for a little while. He tells her about the Devon proposing this like 7-person thing. She keeps saying, okay, that's 7 people. And he keeps saying, so the 6 people, right? She's like, no, it's seven. And that's because
Tyler likes six person alliances. Okay.
Yeah. Right. It's also because Tyler doesn't want Danny involved. And that's in part because of, you know, part of this conversation, it's getting out that Danny brought up his name to Janelle. And so she asks him how he is with Janelle. And he's like, I don't know where this came from. Like, I never talked to Janelle. I'm not with Janelle. And Bailey says, well, I talk to Janelle a lot. And the problem is that she doesn't like the same people I like. And Tyler's like, well, who does she like? She says she likes Memphis, Kacer, Christmas, and they want Nicole. So Bailey's like, so I like this idea of this group because then we can be friends, Tyler.
Yeah.
If we ended up on the wrong side of each other, it would be awkward. And he's like, we could have been friends anyway, but she's like, but it would have been awkward.
Yeah, it would be awkward, but it would be like a little bit more powerful.
So Bailey warns him that, okay, so what happened is Danny went to Janelle and said that she has you. So Janelle feels like you guys are working together and on all of this. And so he's like, oh, Danny. She also lets him know that Janelle told her that the plan was for Franzel to be backdoored. And he was like, well, is that a Janelle plan or does that come from Memphis? And she's, I don't know.
It's just in the ether now.
Mm-hmm.
Like, yeah, Nicole backdoor.
Yeah.
Nicole doesn't love it, let me tell you.
It's a good conversation, though, between Tyler and Bailey. Yes.
Bailey is doing a really good job this season.
She is. But her and Davon are in a tricky spot and they need to play this right because they're mm-hmm. navigating a lot of tricky waters. People in particular, Cody in particular, they're seeing that, like, they're questioning things because they're openly questioning things. And that's making even Enzo is now like, oh, I'm getting worried about Day and Bay. So they need to, like, I like that they're catching on to where the pieces are actually lying on the board. But they need to tread carefully. And I think they will. But it is a dangerous section of the game for them, I think.
Yes, definitely. But I feel good about them. I have confidence in them. Like, I think that, you know, in other seasons with other players, it would be like, oh, wow, yeah, they're in a good spot, but they just can't maintain it. But, like, I do think that they could maintain it.
Yes. So Tyler goes and talks to Enzo. He fills Enzo in on this idea of, like, a group. Of course, you know, Tyler's like, yeah, they asked me about you. And I was like, ah, he's cool, but, like, I don't talk to him that much. And Enzo's like, perfect, perfect. That's what I said. And I was like, you guys aren't in an official alliance together yet. Enzo says, they don't like Danny. And Tyler was like, but they're including her in this group. So they're like, okay, well, let's go to them at some point and be like, let's not include Danny in the group. They do not want Danny to be a part of the seven, which will be a six if Danny's not a part of it.
Yes, will be a six now. I'm curious to see how this shakes out more today.
Mm. So feeds finally go down for the veto competition at like 3:30 in the morning or something. And that's like Big Brother time, I think.
No. It was like 12:30 Big Brother time.
Okay.
Yeah.
Because
I was like staying up being like, what's going to happen? What's going to happen? And then they went down and I was like, I'm going to bed. I'll catch up in the morning. I gotta sleep.
Feeds come back and we find out that Memphis has won the power of veto. Nicole is very upset. She's crying in the storage room, embarrassed about her performance. And Kevin says, there's no way you were going to win that. You should not be embarrassed. Biceps competition. There was not even any strategy involved.
Oh, God. Yeah, because like what I had seen about this was like that it was a lot about like grip strength. And I felt very vindicated because I've long been a proponent that grip strength is something you should train when you're going on one of these shows. Personally, I don't love this outcome.
I mean,
but I guess like drama will result because, you know, Randall is concerned.
Yeah, so I mean, Franzl comes in and she says, that was nonsense. Everything weighed the same for all the players. I couldn't even hold up the ball.
Yeah, I don't care for that.
Yeah, and like multiple people are going to talk about it later as well. I think Danny says, like, there's no way a woman was ever going to win that competition. So I woke up this morning, I was seeing all these tweets about like, oh, a woman was never going to win. It was like super physical. I was like, all right, start up the complaining about physical competitions machine. Here we go.
Well, and it's like there, I get like there's a place for a certain level of physical competition, but they need to be, you know, specifically balanced for the person competing. You can't just be like, everyone is lifting this level of weight, everyone is doing this exact same thing, because then it just becomes purely, okay, well, who is the like strongest?
Yeah.
And who can lift it's not even who's the strong, who can lift the heaviest?
Who benches the most? Who's got the heaviest deadlifts?
Yeah, and like honestly, if that's what they're going to do, then yeah, just literally give them like a squat rack, give them like a bench and be like, "Okay, cool. Let's see who can do the highest personal record on, you know, bench press, deadlift and squat. Let's see that." Like
it'd be more entertaining to watch than a ball maze.
Yeah, like if that's what they're going to do, then just do that. Like, stop lying to us and acting like it's something else. Just do that. It's fine.
So Memphis has the veto and almost definitely will not be using the veto, which means that basically Nicole Anthony will be going home this week, unless something big changes, which is definitely still possible.
It's possible for sure.
Yeah, but Nicole Anthony in a lot of trouble for now. But Danny, Cody, Franzl, and Enzo are still talking about the possibility of a Franzl backdoor. They don't think that he will do it, but Franzl is a little worried. And they're a little worried that like this guy could do anything theoretically. And so they kind of want to ask him, but they're not sure how. Like Franzl was like, what if I just went up and like, oh, I've been hearing that you're going to backdoor me. Like, obviously you're not, right? And he would not appreciate that.
Well, I feel like we've seen that Memphis doesn't appreciate, you know, open, direct communication. That's just not what he wants.
Yeah. And so Cody was like, okay, let's role play then. Because what he's going to do is he's going to go, who told you that? Well, you can't say Ian.
I heard it. In the house, everyone saying it.
So they conclude, we're just going to pretend we don't know. We're just going to pretend we haven't heard it.
How do you feel about that as the move? Because I don't know how I feel about this.
I think it's the right call.
Because it's like, you don't really want to give any more air to this.
Yeah.
And definitely not until after the veto ceremony, I feel like.
And again, like Memphis doesn't want to have to reassure people. And if he's getting the sense that his alliance is not trusting him and that they think that he might have actually betrayed them, then he might start thinking, maybe I should actually betray them.
Yeah, that's true. You know what? If it was like with a better player, I feel like there could be more utility in actually talking it out and figuring out what's going on. But with Memphis, it's just not.
Now, I think what they could do, I think the way that they could approach him is going to Memphis and saying, so Janelle and Kacer are spreading around the house that you plan to backdoor Franzl. Clearly, they're off their rocker. Like they're still, you know, going, you know, they're still going around doing all this stuff. Watch out. Like, you know what I mean? Like a heads up that they're lying about you. And see where, and that might actually encourage him to backdoor one of them.
Yeah, no, you're right. You're right.
Mm. Yeah. So Cody is going to let Christmas know. He's really starting to get sketched out by Devon. It seems like she's questioning things and he keeps seeing her talking with Bailey. And then when he walks in, they like hush up. And they have, again, they have the worst room. It's not even a room. It's part of the hallway, the comic room. And so they're always just like sitting there talking super quietly. And people walk by all the time. And so it makes it all the more obvious that like they're like talking game. And then like when one of their allies comes in and they hush up still, it's like, what are you guys talking about? Why can't you talk to me about it?
Yeah, it's like, it's just awkward. You have to be able to pivot in those situations. You, like, you can't just be like, oh, Darren's coming.
And it's also like the guilt, like there's a layer of guilt to your reaction if you were talking about that person. And mm-hmm. so like Cody's getting the sense that like not only are they hushing up because they don't want me to hear what they're saying, but they're hushing up and then looking at me guilty like they were just talking about me, which they are.
Yeah. And like you just have to be better at hiding that.
Mm-hmm. So he's getting worried about that. In the meantime, Bailey and Devon are having one of those conversations.
Classic.
They're wondering what they should do in various situations this week. What if David comes down and Franzel goes up? Who do they vote out? Probably because they will want to keep Franzel. But what should they do? Probably just vote out Nicole Anthony. If David stays on the block, they're obviously going to keep David. Day has been noticing that anytime she tells Danny something about Cody, Cody comes back to her today asking about the thing that she said to Danny. So she feels like Danny and Cody, they've got something.
Yeah. And I just feel like there's a way to use your connections to, you know, fix things kind of behind the scenes, but it's just so obvious the way that it's happening with Cody and Danny.
And I think the problem here is that when Danny tells Cody about something that Day has said, she doesn't tell him where it came from. And so he doesn't know to not go to Day and tell her about it specifically because he thinks it's coming from somebody like Janelle. And so he doesn't trust Danny. And so he's going to people like Day, like, I don't really trust Danny. She's telling me these things. And then Day is like, oh, Danny's telling you those things. Those are things I'm telling her.
Yeah. Like, it's just, like Cody is just like, he's like, I'm just gonna face this head on. I'm just gonna go straight to Day and I'm gonna be like, hey, what's going on here? And Day's like, oh my god. Like then Day's like, oh, I see everything. I see what's happening. Like this is really bad. And I'm wondering, like, could this be resolved if Danny would tell Cody things and be like, don't say anything? Like if you give Cody that direct order, would he listen? Would that help?
Well, what she needs to do is say that if she's telling him things that Day said, she needs to tell him that Day is the one that told me, so he knows not to go to Day with that
information. Do you think he would still know not to go to Day in that case?
Well, yeah,
do you think he would still do you think he would still do it?
No, like Cody knows the basics of Big Brother. Like he doesn't see that Danny has like this relationship with Day. And when she's telling him things, because like one of the main things is that Day was one of the people telling Danny early in the game that she felt like Tyler and Cody were tight. And so when Danny went to Tyler and Cody to tell them about it, she said, everybody's telling me this. And he was like, who? Who is telling you this? And she was like, everybody, all the women. And he was like, it's not Day or Bay because they're with me and she doesn't know. It's not Nicole Franzel. It's not Keisha. She's on the block. It has to be Janelle and Danny must be protecting Janelle. And so he got him to not trust Danny. And so he went to Day to be like, hey, Day, I'm hearing that people are saying that me and Cody are super tight. Me and Tyler are super tight. And that's coming from Danny. And Danny is the person that Day told about that. And not really anybody else. And so, like, and who else would have been telling Tyler, telling Cody about this? So it's just like that. Like, it's resolved. So if Danny had just said, Day told me, then he could have approached Day in a different way to be, you know, because again, like Cody's not an idiot. He's not going to go to Day and be like, I've heard that you're saying I'm tight with Cody or tight with Tyler. Mm-hmm. This is the problem. And I think it does stem back to, Danny just like not telling Cody the source of where these things are coming from, but telling him the information. That's like, you can't do that half measure. You can't give somebody information then not tell them the source if you're supposed to be really tight allies, because that's super sketchy.
Yeah, no, you're right. I got him now. Thank you.
All right. So Bailey says that Janelle, well, here's the thing. Janelle says Cody, Franzel, Danny, and Tyler are working together. And Day says, I believe three of them, but not Tyler. I don't think Tyler's with them. She says, Tyler tells me he doesn't trust Danny and doesn't want her in that group that we're talking about. And Bay was like, okay. And so there, and Day's like, I gotta say, some of the things that Case are saying are adding up. They're adding up.
It's like, yeah, maybe if we could just get some people move this way, that could work out great.
Yeah, it says like Danny, she's always covering for Franzel. Day and Danny did just have a conversation like a couple of hours before this conversation where Day was asking about Franzel to Danny, and Danny was like, oh, Franzel loves you. She wants to work with you so bad. And it was a little too obvious. And Day's like, she's always stumping for Franzel. Kacer and Janelle have been telling us that they're like close friends. Like, I'm really starting to believe that.
It's just so obvious.
Yeah. And so that trio makes a lot of sense, but they don't believe that Tyler's in it. And that actually is a pretty good call because he's officially not in that trio, although he is very close with them. And I think what they're missing is that Cody doesn't trust Danny either. And Cody would actually prefer Tyler over Danny at this point. But they're right in the sense that Tyler doesn't even really know about the fact that there's an official trio. This is a big mess over there anyway. But
it's like the whole like alliance structure right now is so messy.
Yeah, you know, and I, you know, when we were looking at the alliance structure in week one, or at least when I was, you know, we were looking at like these two groups of four with Cody and Enzo in the middle, and then an outer layer of the Memphis group, and it seemed very well put together. And I thought, I wonder if this is a better way to maintain the bomb squad structure, because not everybody knows about everybody else. So maybe this will be easier to maintain. I think what we're finding is that it's actually more difficult to maintain, and they are not able to keep everybody from finding out about the others. And it's kind of like shaken up.
Yeah, and I think that like it definitely is a better way to maintain that type of relationship. But then you throw in players like Memphis, and Memphis wants everything to happen through the game of telephone. He doesn't want to reassure people. He doesn't want to talk about it. Like, to Memphis, it's like, okay, we make an alliance. We're an alliance. We're never going to talk again, and then it's fine. But like, we'll protect each other. It's whatever. But like, it's just not how people work. It's just not how a large alliance can function. Like, people need reassurance. People need to talk things out with their alliance, and Memphis is unwilling to do that. And I think that is a big reason why things are, you know, so jumbled.
Yeah. And I think that's fair. If Memphis acts like any other member of this alliance, then this week probably would have gone much more smoothly, and the structure would have been, you know, much more in place.
Yeah, like, I think we all saw the HOH result and thought, okay, cool, it's going to be just another straightforward week, it's going to be boring, whatever. But then the way he has played it has been so messy that it's forced things to be more interesting than they had any right to be.
Mm-hmm. So what Bailey and Davon ultimately decide here is that, you know, Kacer is approaching them about joining this group with Nicole, Anthony, them, and Kacer and Janelle. And they are going to, what they're going to tell Kacer is, okay, we can't say yes to this group right now. You solidify, you know, some other numbers, and Memphis, of course, would be included in that group. You solidify your other people, and then we'll join. And Kacer's not going to like this because Kacer is trying to do that by solidifying Bay and Day to get the other people to solidify. So it's going to be frustrating for Kacer, but they're saying that. And then if he does that, then we'll kind of like, we'll be able to like keep that on the back burner, and then we'll wait and see who wins HOH, and we'll say yes to this other group as well, and then you know, we'll wait to see who wins HOH. So if Kacer or Janelle or, you know, one of their affiliates, which they don't have yet, wins HOH
affiliate,
yeah, then Bay and Day are on board.
They'll be like, yeah, let's do this.
But if they don't, they're not on board.
Yeah, not happening.
So Apart from that, they're going to let things stay the same this week. They're not going to push for Franzel back door. It's easier for them to just get rid of Nicole Anthony. They are definitely not voting out David, no matter what. So that's where Bay and Day are there. Mm-hmm. So Cody's going to talk to Bailey, and they do hash this out a little bit. They talk about, like, there's not enough communication. Bailey says that, like, you know, we're worried, like, we're getting worried. We need to talk more. She asks him, like, I've heard that you, like, that, like, an alliance was proposed to Janelle with you, Danny, Franzel, and Tyler, and that you guys are trying to work with Janelle. And he's like, well, no, because he didn't do that. Danny did that. And so there's going to be a lot of, like, investigating, I think, and Danny could really get exposed today.
I'm worried. I'm very worried.
Yeah,
this is very concerning.
And so, she says that people are worried about him and Franzel being together. So, like, watch out for that. It is a good conversation to kind of, like, okay, like, we're addressing the fact that there is some distrust here. But let's try and get back on the same page. But Cody does go to Enzo afterward and he's like, Dan Bear, they're getting paranoid. They want more information. Like, this is bad. And Danny apparently told Janelle that she's got Tyler wrapped around her finger. And, like, what is Danny doing? Like, why is Danny doing this? She doesn't have Tyler wrapped around her finger. Nobody has Tyler wrapped around their finger. So it's a lot of stuff going on.
It's like, I don't know. These early feeds are always just so much and so chaotic. I feel like it's just impossible to track sometimes.
Yeah. So that was last night. We've already had some developments in the morning, but it's just too much to add on to a podcast that's not about that day. So we'll talk about that tomorrow morning at 11 a.m. Eastern.
Yeah.
What's been going on today so far? Nothing too crazy, but
It's still just so early.
Yes. Yes. So that's what we have for you from yesterday, day 11. On the Big Brother 22 live feeds. Kirsten, anything else you wanted to bring up?
I feel like there were some good conversations pre-veto, just of, like, with, like, Danny, Christmas, and Nicole, like, yeah, venting about Memphis and how he's impossible to work with and that kind of thing. I feel like just to put that out there, that did happen yesterday. There was quite long conversations. I know at one point Cody was also there and Cody's like, Memphis isn't like that with me. Like, maybe I just need to talk to him tomorrow. And then they brought up the possibility, like, oh, like, so does Memphis talk to us differently because we're women? Like, that definitely was brought up. And so just kind of in case that has further relevance, I just want to have that on the record.
And notably, Tyler the previous night had said that he wanted to talk to Christmas to make sure that she was not being influenced too much by Franzel. I did not see that conversation happen. I think that Tyler might have been busy with other things or maybe forgot. Christmas is, I think, diving deeper and deeper into the Danny Franzel vortex. I think that Tyler is going to need to throw a rope to her at some point because it would be very bad for him if he lost Christmas, because that's really his biggest secret weapon.
Yeah, he cannot lose her. He needs her.
Yes. And yes, Marriott is asking, did they think Tyler threw the veto? Yes, she thought that Tyler threw the veto. I don't know why, but she said it was obvious.
Well, we'll see it on Wednesday, I suppose.
Just like we saw Enzo's stack knocking over Keisha's.
Hey, I have a serious... I know that this is so far in the past, it doesn't matter, but it literally doesn't make any sense in that specific competition with how far apart they were for Enzo's stack to affect anybody else's stack. And so my theory is that something Enzo did distracted Keisha, yep, and Keisha's stack fell over. I don't think it was, I think when it was just getting discussed in the house, it got turned into something completely different.
You mean people on the internet misinterpreted something on the live feeds and then ran with it and went totally wild with it?
Taryn, how dare you? The internet would never do that. They are always 100% accurate. Their indignation is righteous. And I just resent the implication that you're making here.
I mean, I thought the internet only talked about facts.
That's exactly right. Facts and science. That's what the internet's for.
Okay. All right. That's what we have for you today. Kirsten, where can people find you?
Yes, you can find me on all social media platforms at Kirsten Said What, twitch.tv/Kirsten Said What, on Kowski Cast. Mary has started releasing season 2 back coverage of our Riverdale recaps. I think the one she released last week, I think we recorded it last July, so I feel like that's probably a fun time capsule for people to go listen to. As well, Love Island is starting 1 week from tomorrow, and myself and Brian Scally will be back recapping Love Island, and I think that there will be a preview type podcast coming out this week, probably. Don't quote me on that.
All right. You can find me on Twitter at Armstrong Taryn and on Twitch, twitch.tv/Taryn Armstrong. Thank you so much for joining us. I will be back tomorrow morning at 11 a.m. Eastern to update everything that happens today on the Big Brother 22 live feeds. And of course, tonight to recap Sunday night episode of Big Brother 22. Thanks again. We'll see you next time.